Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Did my y'all come out pretty good? I am an import to this place called Texas, so I don't know. Been here about 10 years, maybe going on 11. You're listening to the Republic of Texas radio show. I'm your host, Steve O'Brien. We talk about Texas independence, Texas independence, Texas independence, not just all Texas independence. A lot of times we're talking about the world around us and the world that we see around us. He does... Well, everything's a slow process. Everything wasn't built in a day. And the world is being built and created and tweaked and talked and whatever the heck the worlds are twittered together. Yeah, maybe I'm rambling first thing in the morning. Kind of going to keep playing on from last week's where we were going, you know, last week, because it kind of all goes together one week after another. We've got more that we need to talk about Republic Broadcasting, right? The early days. So we're going to get to that towards the end of the hour, and we're going to move along, and we're going to see if we can get from 2008 all the way up to 2013. And how many days do we have now? We have today, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 5 days to talk about RBN and how wonderful it is, or whatever. But I ain't going to talk about negative stuff on the air. Definitely not. But I will show you RBN as I know it, or at least I'm going to try to tell you about it. And you can tell me about it a little bit, too. I got a lot of emails about the last week's show and, you know, some of the hosts that people like and dislike. So yeah, towards the end of the show or towards the end of the year, I'm going to be contacting a few people and seeing what their position with it. They can come back here and wave hi to you. Maybe we'll have a Macy's Thanksgiving Day thing and everybody will, hi. Well, we'll see. Maybe it will be nothing. Maybe it'll be me and Alan on the 29th saying hello and goodbye and wait till next year. We'll see. We'll just see how it goes. They can't promise anything. You know, different people that have broadcasted on this network have gone on to live normal lives. That sounds weird. But I don't know. Maybe they're abnormal lives. Speaking of abnormal lives, hello, Alan. How are you?
Reporting from Strangeland here. Yeah, sometimes holidays kind of. Yeah. Sometimes yep. Holidays kind of throw me for a loop when a family that somehow I guess physically and. You know, physiologically, we are the same blood and everything, but man, I sure feel like they're from different planets at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I guess, the subject at hand for this week is Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving out there in cyberspace / radio land? You know, did you stay at home and hang out with nothing? Because, like, Alan and I, we did the family thing and had two different kind of Thanksgiving things, and Alan's is probably the most, harsh to deal with, I guess, you're to say. You went and did family with, how many people were there? What was that like?
There was quite a few up there. I mean, you know, my younger brother was in with his family, you know, the autistic niece and everything. And I tried to sit down and have some kind of a competent conversation with anyone there. Ended up talking to my dog most of the time, but because I mean sports, you know, I when I was bartending and everything, and it was kind of part of my job and my, you know, my world, you know, to make people have a good time, and we'd play the games and everything, and you know, you kind of get into your local team. You know, I was in Arkansas, so you know, everyone votes for the Arkansas Razorbacks. We only had one team, so and I could have possibly handled the sports nuttiness, you know, of them knowing, you know, every player on every team and when they get up and eat breakfast and when they take a crap in the morning and, you know, all this stuff on their stats so they can, And I could have handled it, Steve, if people still voted for one team even, you know, over another. But I was sitting there watching football with them, and they play something called fantasy football. So they're voting and rooting for both teams and voting against both teams. And because they've each got individual players on a team, and if that player makes a good play, it helps their team that they pick, their fantasy team. So they'd be, one team would be running the ball, and they'd be going, yeah, 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 catch it, catch it. And no, no, not him. No, I don't want him catching it. Even though he was on the same team, he's like, no, I want my guy catching the ball. It helps my team. And I'm like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. There's not even loyalty to a single team. The only loyalty you have is to yourself. I can see what they're doing with this crap. It just really confuses me. And just, I mean, I just had to get up, and I just left, and apparently I wouldn't even missed it all. So it's very puzzling. It's family, but it's not family. They're people, but they're not people like I used to know them. It's very strange what's happening in this world.
And you think that it would be like the one time that it would be nice, I don't know, to see Alan and, you know, sit there and talk to him about stuff and things that are going on in your head. I mean, Alan, let's speak frankly here. You didn't even know a lot of this materials until one of your brothers kind of said, hey, look, there's something going on, man. You know?
Yeah. My older brother used to, you know, he'd pull down all these little story, you know, survival stories and, you know, what's the best, you know, survival weapon and what do you need in your larder and, you know, all this stuff, you know, the secret squirrel, you know, websites, you know, the what happens, you know, where, you know, the people who get caught, you know, different scenarios, you know, well, what makes you become a raider and all this crap.
We used to drop off the Alex Jones magazine at your house back in the 2000s, you know, it was.
Yeah, he'd get it in Austin, and next time he came out, he'd give it to me, yeah. So, and now if I try to say anything about what's actually going on in the world and things that actually make, you know, a difference to society, I'm met with, I don't want to talk about that.
Well, I had an exactly opposite Thanksgiving. I just went and did the normal thing with normal people. And, well, I don't know. I don't know how we call people normal and non-normal. That's just strange. I guess I'd say just general slave class people like me that just work and, you know, they're trying to survive. And so sitting at the table with them, you know, discussing things like homelessness. And, well, they brought up homelessness, right? Because I kind of kicked myself in the head a few months back when I did that Facebook video that went on to Facebook and got shown to everybody. They said, so what's going on with the homeless in Fredericksburg? And then everybody looked over at me. I'm going, oh, well, nothing. You know, they're still there, right? And they're going to be there. And I don't know. We might do more later in the future if it's necessary. But what is there to do with that? And so I had they were listening to me. That was kind of funny. That doesn't usually happen. And we talked about it. I just go, well, you know, that's where we're all supposed to be living, under that damn bridge. And they agreed. But these are farmer people. You know, they take care of animals, their animals for a living, and they go to the stock auction barn, I'm sorry, and to sell the animals. So there is a part of Fredericksburg that's all wrapped around the old school stuff of managing animals and, you know, taking care of fields and things like that. Very few people deal with that, but that's where I was. And it was nice to see that their heads were down on earth, probably because their paycheck is all that they can, you know, eat to survive. They don't have piles of money, and we're always scraping to get by. But that brought me to
my clan. You know, they live. They've chosen to live in the big cities. You know, my younger brother lives up in, you know, outside Chicago, and my older brother, you know, lives in Austin. You know, the place where, you know, that they live such a good, you know, fulfilling life that they get up fairly early in the morning, so they can leave by 6:30 in the morning to be at work by 8 o'clock. you know.
Yeah.
Because they've got to fight their way to traffic, and they've got to get it, you know, downtown, and, you know, and my God, how Austin is growing. There's a back way, you know, that I can get to my brother's here. I don't have to, you know, go down through all the big city parts. You kind of come in right back, you know, kind of in his back door, or at least used to. And now, when you go there, you stop and you turn about 2 miles before we used to, because they've cut a new road through, and you go through these huge new subdivisions, just tract house after tract house after tract house after tract house after tract house, just everywhere. I mean, the urban sprawl, which is what they call it, is just, it's amazing. I mean, how fast they can throw up just a, you know, I don't go to Austin for 6 months or so, and I drive in and try to find my way to my brother's house, and I've got to get a whole new map every time, because every time you go, you've got to find a different route to get to his place. It's unfreaking believable what is going on here.
It's crazy, but the cities are definitely different than the counties and so forth. You know, one of the craziest Thanksgiving stories was our buddy Art from Georgia. He called into Farron's yesterday, and he talked about a gay pride parade coming to his town of 10,000 people. Alan, did you hear that part? It's like, really? So all of a sudden, and they're all worked up, you know, hey, you can go to the parade? Hey, you going to stick your dick in some, what? I'm sorry, did I say that on radio? Maybe it was C. Jane Run. But anyway.
Yes, I think there was Jane and Spot and some other stuff in there, yeah.
Yeah. I got that out of context. But still, man, really? Have you ever seen one of those things? You know, I lived in San Francisco, and I even didn't go down to those things because they were just too much debauchery. You know, they had the running of the thing. People told me about them, right? The running of the bears. That was all the really heavy set bearded guys are running, and they call them the bears. And so it's like, really? No, I don't want to watch the running of the bears. I don't want to watch any kind of, you know, craziness. And no, they don't look good. No. And I think the point was, you know, when our society hits the point when they start pushing people into behaving one way or the other. Recently here in Texas, there was a school teacher. It's still undetermined what the heck is going to happen, because they played the card, you know, school brought in some, you know, transvestites. And they did the whatever, you know, transvestite hour, right? Transvestite reading hour, whatever you want to call that.
Queen story time, yeah.
Nice. Really? Does it have to have a name like that? Let's just call it Gay People Read to Kids. Okay, so let's just go there. So the gay people come in to read to kids and rub their crotch and do whatever they want to do in front of your boy. And then the teacher stands up and goes, you know, and get out of here, be complains and says, well, you might be the parent, but it takes a community, and you don't know what's best for your kid. And your kid needs to know about these guys that rub their crotch and do stupid things in front of your kids. And maybe your kids want to dress like that. Going, whoa.
Is this the vaunted, you know, over homeschooling? Is this the vaunted socialization that you know, that the kids get in school? You know, they've got to learn how to talk with other kids. You know, it's like they don't get that when they're homeschooled. It's because most parents wouldn't bring a drag queen into their house.
It's the programming. But when, you know, we don't have such a thing here in Fredericksburg yet. I'm sure that there's been.
Well, Steve, now you did say you were walking with your son down on Main Street a couple of weeks ago, and you ran into flaming drag queens. So, coming to a small town near you.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were telling me about a course that they had to lead in college, and they didn't have to. They were considering picking it up. It was gender studies, and the dean had asked them to take it, and they're like, well, I don't know if I want to do this, right? It's crazy. And so they had three parts of the curriculum. There was the male and the female and the queer. And I'm all, they use that word? And they're like, yeah. And I'm going like, oh, okay, so what's under queer? Oh, that's where they put the lesbians and the, you know, the male homosexuals, and then they put, you know, all the other ones. I'm all, so they still use the word queer, huh? That's interesting. In academia, I think they'd, right, be off with their heads. Huh? Is that what they do? Pretty much. But in academia, I guess you got to classify something as classify something. So if that whole another genre of people, not the males, not the females, the queers, want to have a parade here in Fredericksburg, what's the process? I know the process, Alan. You get out there and you get a bunch of signatures and you get a whole bunch of people to say, yeah, we want to see Tootsie, right? And we want to see Blinky and whatever. And yeah, that might have been a little test that I saw where you had the drag queens last week rushing down Main Street, you know, seeing if they can get a rise, get any high fives or anything like that. And who knows? It could be this year that you know, Texas goes the way of Georgia. Right? I don't know. We'll see. But somehow I think, maybe I'm naive, Alan. Maybe I feel too much like I'm in the land of apple pie and butter bread, butter beans, or so whatever the hell. You know,
well,
that
you,
I think
that you started that word with the right letter. You started with N, and I would say that we're what used to be called normal, Steve. You know, it's very, very strange. Like I said, I'm beginning to, I guess, is this how the Rothschilds and all these blue blood, you know, ancient, you know, bloodlines and everything, maybe this is the way that they feel towards the rest of us fire ants, the kind of the experience I had this last week with my fellow people, I guess. I don't really. It's hard to call them family anymore because I really have nothing, absolutely nothing, except the genetic structure involved with them. It's very, very strange.
But they're
I can't relate to them. You know, it's like they are a whole different species. Not saying that the way they think about, you know, the blue bloods think about us is good, but man, I can almost kind of see their point at times.
I don't know. I have a hard time.
I did have my young cousin come in yesterday, and he saved me. He came out. He actually broke away for a couple of hours. We went out and shot pistols and had a good time, and you know, had a normal conversation. It was kind of nice, rather refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys have been close for many, many years, and that's the important part. And I don't know, sometimes these rifts, they grow between us. And then even our views of the world, and I don't want to get all woo-woo or, you know, head-shrinky type guy on this, but, you know, our hopes and dreams are important to us. And those that are dreaming in the land of, I have nothing to concern me except for let's say, my fantasy football dream, you know, there's something wrong there, man. If you've got all this time to devote to fantasy football, you know, are you paying attention,
Steve,
to the world?
If they weren't talking fantasy football, if all of a sudden I heard a voice kind of become quiet, I looked over, and what do you think that they might have been doing? That they were, they were engaging with their added appendage that everyone has. You know, everyone nowadays has two legs, two feet, two arms, two hands, and what connected to a hand? A rectangle, I would say. A rectangle.
Right answer. We didn't really have a lot of
face shoved in a rectangle and just not communicating with anything except for the fantasy football world.
Yeah, there's multiple worlds. I have a feeling. Okay, so since we're talking rectangles here, I had a real problem going into Thanksgiving, Alan, a very serious problem. And, hey, we're going to get to that after the break. We're going to take the break. Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back. And carry on in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
Okay, we're back. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. There goes the music. Here comes me telling Alan before the break that I had a real big problem this Thanksgiving time just trying to get to my Thanksgiving because I had a workload that, you know, I really wanted to finish because once you hit the holidays, it's gone. But guess what happened? Right as I was trying to finish my regular workload, the Wi-Fi problem started happening, and we had different, you know, families coming together that didn't have, you know, the outbuilding set up for Wi-Fi. Things had broken. So I had Wi-Fi emergencies. Dun, dun, dun. They're all a little bit differently, and they're different and whatnot. So I had three of these things, and I went to my first one, and oh, my God, I realized I was going to have a hard time with this because it's filled with family walking around doing this and that and yimming and yammering and this. And I'm going, no, man, I've worked enough Thanksgiving, you know, being a tech guy and traveling around. I don't want to do this. You know, this is too much. And everybody's like, why doesn't it work? I don't know. I'm like, look, you know, get your yammering face away from mine. I've got a heavy workload and it's cold outside. And I'm working on transmitting internet. Oh, no, I know what I'm doing. Doodle-doodle-doodle-doo and fix it. You know, leave me alone. I'll drive away. I don't care. It's like, you know, when it comes down to, I get a little bit grumpy, I guess, Alan, But it's just like, I don't care. You want to fix it? You want to talk to me about it? I don't want to talk about it. I want to fix it, right? And your idea is not my idea. Or you think it's that? Okay, fix it, right? Because I'm going to do what I do. You know, in the end, I most of the time come out ahead. But, man, three of these, Alan, and they played the same way. You know, I'm telling you how to fix what you're being paid to do. And I love the pay. Don't get me wrong, right? I love cashing out at the end of the job. But just the people telling you what to do, and when all of a sudden you bring an entire extended family into one place and a couple of them decide that they need to, what is it, show off? Maybe they're just so bored they want to micromanage something, and I'm the slave peon that they dragged in, right, to do the dance.
Steve, you know, nowadays everyone is an expert on everything because all they have to do is go to their YouTube and, oh, if they don't have Wi-Fi, they can't get to it, can they? So yeah, Steve, I can, in your situation, I would probably have a good time because I would be secretly laughing at these people walking around looking at their screen, bumping into walls and stuff because the Wi-Fi isn't working and they don't know where they're going. I'd probably be laughing my ass off inside.
Well, I had a couple conversations with the owners of the houses, and I said, well, hey, maybe it's a good thing that it's down. We'll take care of it on Friday or Monday.
No,
I don't like those people, Steve. Please. I'm like, oh, really? Okay, you said please. You're going to owe me. You're going to owe me for this. I'll put your Wi-Fi back. But, you know, and I can see that. I love Thanksgiving. I think it's still one of my favorite holidays for, you know, all the things that I complain about. I've had all Thanksgiving days. I've had the lovely ones with my family, and I've had the ones that I'm involved in fights with, and I've watched fights occur at the Thanksgiving table, and I've seen blows thrown. Actually, that's just strange to me. But that's what makes Thanksgiving what it is. I have a song for you, Alan. Do we have enough time to play this one there, Ken? I think it's about 2 minutes. And it's part of a meme, I believe. Well, at least it'll become a meme. Why don't you hit this, Alan? Have a listen. And it's bad. It's really bad. Go for it, Ken.
Tell me the duck story.
Bum, 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 ba-dum, ba-dum. A duck walked up to a lemonade stand, and he said to the man running the stand, hey, bum, 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 got any grapes? The man said, no, we just sell lemonade, but it's cold and it's fresh and it's all homemade. Can I get you a glass? The duck said, I'll pass. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle, till the very next day, bum, 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 ba-dum. When the duck walked up to the lemonade stand, and he said to the man running the stand, hey, bum, 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 got any grapes? The man said, no, like I said yesterday, we just sell lemonade, okay? Why not give it a try? The duck said, goodbye. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Till the very next day, bum, 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 ba-dum. When the duck walked up to the lemonade stand, and he said to the man running the stand, hey, bum, 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 got any grapes? The man said, look, this is getting old. I mean, lemonade's all we've ever sold. Why not give it a go? The duck said, how about no? Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Till the very next day, bum, 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 ba-dum. When the duck walked up to the lemonade stand, and he said to the man running the stand, hey, bum, 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 got any grapes? The man said, that's it. If you don't stay away, duck, I'll glue you to a tree and leave you there all day stuck. So don't get too close. The duck said, adios. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. said to the man running the stand, "Hey, bump, 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 got any glue?" "What? Got any glue? No, why would I?" "Oh, then one more question for you. Got any grapes?" "Bump, bump, 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 bump." And the man just stopped. Then he started to smile. He started to laugh. He laughed for a while. He said, "Come on, Doc, let's walk to the store. I'll buy you some grapes, so you won't have to ask anymore." So they walked to the store, and the man bought some grapes. He gave one to the duck, and the duck said, "No thanks. But you know what sounds good? It would make my day. Do you think this store? Do you think this store? Do you think this store has any lemonade?" Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away.
I don't know if you followed that, and I didn't follow that song for the first, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of times it got stuck in my head. The duck's a real dick, right? You know, going up to a lemonade stand, and it sounds all cute. "He bottled in, got any grapes?" Like, wow. But then in the end, he turns on the guy that just bought him something, bought him grapes, and goes to buy lemonade from somebody else. Man, I really see that as an interesting analogy of the world around us, Alan. You know, there's all these ducks walking around going, "You got any grapes?" "You don't know, man. I just sell lemonade." Right? Then you finally help them out, and they waddle away and, you know, forget about you. I don't know. What do you think?
In the world that I still kind of live in, and definitely the way most people used to live in, about the third time at least would be the last one that duck walked up, and then he'd be roast duck dinner somewhere. He wouldn't be asking for no grapes no more. But I guess that's kind of a reflection on society. Is that what they're teaching kids to do? I mean, that's a children's song.
I don't know what the heck is going on with that song. You know, it's got millions and millions of views, and it's reposted all over the place. So it's very popular, and I heard it the first time, you know, several years ago, and I get chastised the moment I bring it up, you know, because 400 million on just one link, right? So this is, and what does it teach? Be the duck? Right, the duck that did that ask, or be what? I don't know. The guy that had the lemonade stand, he was cool, right? Well, he kept his head. He, you know, put up with it. Was that good? I don't know. I don't know.
The commentary on the society is kind of like, what was I going to say here? What are they? What are they teaching kids? I mean, it's a selfish society. All the duck's thinking about is himself. You know, he doesn't think, no, this guy's told me no, he doesn't have it. It's like, but every time I walk up to it, it's like, I'm going to ask him. It's like, because, I don't know, I figured that the guy would eventually break down and have grapes at his lemonade stand. You know, that would be today's world. Oh, well, I don't like it, but I guess I have to accept it. It's like,
Ken wraps it up and says this, Alan, no good deed will go unpunished. You know, there you go. Hey, that's what they're teaching kids. Art in Georgia. Hello. Good morning. Happy whatever.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Alan. Hey. That ain't great.
Hey. Well, we got some glue. Sorry.
You got some glue?
I got lots of glue.
We got specialty glues. You know,
I got specialty glues wearing that the yin yang.
But anyway, before I get to what I called in about, you know, I would be one of those ones, you know, where you talk about everybody's an expert wanting to tell you how to do something. I always had this great comeback with that. And it didn't matter if I was at home working on something and one of my family members came out and tried to tell me. Like, Mama used to come out. Like, I was putting up a fence one time, and Mama wanted to come out and tell me how to do the fence work. And I was like, "Mama, you ever put up a fence?" "Well, no." "Well, Mama, I used to work for a fence company. I think I know what I'm doing." you know, or mm-hmm. or you know, somebody wants to try to tell you how to do something. Do you want to do it? Well, no, then shut up. And that was my attitude, because if you're not going to do it, you're not going to get out here and help me do it, you need to shut up. Because I'm just, you know, and unless you've done it for a job, then you don't know how to do it, so what are you trying to tell me something? Shut up, you know? I don't want to hear it. But that's my attitude. Mm. But then again, I've always been rude and obnoxious. So, you know? So for me, it's nothing out of the ordinary. But on that thing you mentioned, you heard me talking with Farron yesterday about the gay pride parade. It's not that they have one in my little bitty town of 10,000 people.
Oh, okay.
It's in Augusta, which is an hour drive, and people in
drive an hour to see that. Really?
People in my little town are going to drive an hour, and they're going to take their children. They're going to drive an hour with their children to go watch these freaks parade down the street with almost nothing on but a loincloth and pasties on their nippies and hair looking like they got some kind of like fighting gamecock mounted on their head. You know, all done up in rainbow colors, and looked like they slaughtered a Georgia Gamecock and mounted up on their head. It just absolute debauchery, and these people are going to drive. I mean, little tiny country rednecks going to drive an hour to see this. And even some, I actually had one guy tell me he's going to be in it. No.
You know.
I kind of had that same experience, Art. I was talking with my step niece, I guess you would call her, about you know the drag queen story hours that are going around, and this is her response, and she's got two young girls of herself now. This is her response. Well, I might have what's wrong with that? I might have taken the girls down just to see it, and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You have no idea what this is leading towards. This is all leading towards your children being prey for these freaks.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And they don't understand it.
It's been
driven into them through the school system and through your peers, and, you know, well, I don't want to say anything bad against them because that would make me look like I'm a hater, you know? And this is the indoctrination they've gotten. They're accepting this debauchery because they don't want to be ostracized by their peer groups.
Yeah, heaven forbid. You know, I mean, but it's, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we're talking people in a little country town, they're getting excited about a bunch of fags marching down the middle of Broad Street in Augusta, Georgia. And 5 years ago, the big thing was, hey, you're gonna go to the county fair? Now it's, hey, you're going to go to the gay pride parade? What happened? What did I miss? Was there like some transition of society that just kind of like passed me by? Like I wasn't paying attention or something?
It went fast. I can't figure out. 2014, somewhere, something changed. You know, I guess it was changing slowly, but somewhere everything changed, and I don't know exactly when. I don't know. I'd ask you a lot of questions, but I don't think you have any answers. Where are we going next? Oh, Jesus. What do we do, Art?
Well, you know, in a way, I'm not really that surprised because Farron, I believe it was, sent me a video, and it's sex, drugs, and the library. Just look this up. Just do a search. It was on YouTube. It was a news story. But just do a search on Google. I forget what newspaper it was or TV. It was a TV station. You just do a search for sex, drugs, and the library. And
I heard about this one.
It's an entire story done by the news TV station out there in California. People sitting out right out in public, right out in front, sticking needles in their arms, shooting up, laying down on the ground side by side next to, you know, and masturbating each other, and just, I mean, absolute disc- that's, this is the society that is developing around us now, and I mean, we might as well just throw all ethics, morals, and like standards of civilized society, we might as well just throw them out with the bathwater, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. We might as well just do away with all sense and logic and reason and just go back to being, well, the animals that they think we are.
Yeah. Hey, I got a little bit of clarity while you were talking there, Art. Aaron would like to remind you that you are to live in an all-day gay pride parade. It's the new normal. There you go. So now we know why. Because, no, we don't. But he's probably right. That's it. They're just crazy. They're going to stick it in your face, you know, constantly. And you're going to have these challenges while grandchildren go through the school systems, through the private indoctrination systems, you know, homeschooling, maybe not so much, but they will attack us with vaccines and things like that. I don't know where we're going, right, because it is right next door. And is it good? No, not necessarily. But remember the point of this all. And they've achieved the goal, right? Have you been paying attention, Art? Right? So they've achieved the goal of stopping the population growth here in the United States. I don't know if you saw that on the news media, the fact that we're not having enough children to maintain the population here in the United States of America. So they're bringing in people.
You bring that up. I actually did some research on that several years ago. And the research and study shows that in order for a society to maintain itself, and when they say society, they're talking about the society and the culture of that society. In order for a society to maintain its cultural stability and continue, you need a fertility rate of 2.7%. If it falls below 1.8, it is in jeopardy of dying out, and if it drops below 1.2, it's done. It's over. That's it. That's the end of it. If it drops below 1.8, it would take 100 years in order to recover, but that would mean making massive amounts of babies, like at a breakneck speed. But in order to maintain a healthy society and a culture that sustains, you need a fertility rate of 2.7. Well, the United States, as a culture, has a 1.2% fertility rate. Well, at 1.2%, it's unrecoverable.
We might have something to look forward to here, Art, because, you know, there's been a commercial recently, you know, that shows this guy walking along, you know, asking another guy in a hallway, "Do you have a tampon? Do you have a tampon?" So apparently guys are women now, so guys, I guess these guys that get together, I guess they can have butt babies of some type. I really don't know, but I guess we're saved, because, you know, if guys can reproduce, then homosexuality is great, right? We ought to have a burgeoning population, correct?
Well, in prison they call those jelly babies.
Okay.
Man, that's crazy. So, Art, when we look at the population number, I just wanted to put this into a perspective that I've seen earlier on. I had a person talking on the radio or somewhere that I remember within the last 24 hours, and he was saying that, well, if transit was really good, you know, then I'd be able to live without a car, but I can't live without a car in Texas, right? If I have to go somewhere, I have to go somewhere, and there ain't no transportation. It's an hour or 100 miles one direction or the other, right? It's far away. But see, the whole premise is you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to live there. You're supposed to live in the cities. That's the Agenda 21 world that we're pushing towards. the world that we're pushing towards, not we, right? Let's just do the United Nations again. The world they want, everybody lives in cities, and these wide expanses like Texas would be for the wildlife, right? And all of a sudden, it's great, and Bambi's living there and whatever, and the rich people can go explore and kill and do whatever they want, you know, and they can get it. And maybe you'll be able to apply for a pass to go see a deer one time. But you'll live in a little community, little houses, more like China, where you have your house and then your factory that you work in, if you're lucky enough to work in a factory. I don't know. Maybe they'll just die. I don't know. But the Agenda 21 world, the depopulation agenda, is it's wonderful for them because we don't need as many people as we needed in the 20th century, if we call that, the 1900s forward, when manufacturing required us to, you know, make shoes and things like that. Now the Chinese, they just buy a machine from Applied Materials, and it just sits there and makes the shoe. So who works on it? The guy that grabs the shoe at the other end. Oh, no, the guy that works on the machine from Applied Materials makes the shoe. Right? Well, that shoe machine's obsolete. Let's get a new shoe machine. It puts out 2 million shoes. You know, one second. But we don't need
No, maybe, Steve, they might call in, they probably call in a specialist, someone like a conceptual and data artist to solve that problem.
You know, I don't know. That person, you know, I know that's a joke, Alan. I'm just preaching to the choir, Art. I know you know all this stuff. We're all there, and it's just frustrating that nobody else can see it. It's just frustrating.
Well, you mentioned that agenda, and if people think this is a joke, then what they need to do is they need to just go online and look for the Wetlands Corridor map, and you will see they've updated it now, but you will see where you'd be allowed to go and where you won't be allowed to go, and there's an awful lot of not allowed to go. And if you really pay attention, you have to, like, because on the new map, they're not showing where people are allowed to be. They're showing the reserves and corridors, which is little to no human use, the buffer zones, which is highly regulated, the NAFTA 200-mile international zone, which is along the southern border, which is that's that constitution-free zone there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's what they call the normal use, which is tiny little aqua colors, and that's where people will be allowed to live, and it's like almost non-existent. And then there's the pink, which is the Indian reservation. That makes the Indians absolute prisoners on their land, and then you have the military reservations. And when you look at this map, it becomes very obvious that about 99% of the U.S. territory is inaccessible to you and I.
And then they'll complain, Art, that we're too crowded. We got too many people. We need to get rid of a few because they're all stacked into dag saltine cracker boxes,
you know,
one on top of the other, and and stacked up in these little tiny corridors, like you say, you know. And when we've got enough land that hell, you could fit the population of the world in Texas and have like what 10 square feet. Someone did a study and said, well, it was 7.5 billion people. You know, how much land? You know, if stuff into the state of Texas, you know, how much area would they have? And they'd have like 10 square feet, you know, but that's everyone on the planet just in the state of Texas. So, you know, and there's a lot of land out there that's been taken by governments that we don't get to use no more or go out and play on or live on.
Yeah.
And the moment you bring up that map and that plan, agenda, right, they say, they go off in their head and they start thinking, hey, Alan, do you think that Kaepernick is going to be playing next year? Because I'd like him on my, you know, fantasy team. I want him dancing in a gay pride parade or whatever, you know. They don't want to talk about this. And it's one of the hardest things to deal with. You want people to be aware where their kids are going, but people don't want to know.
The willful cognitive dissonance, you know, and they'll love their cognitive dissonance until it cognitive dissonance right up their butt, you know, and snaps them.
Yeah, people just don't want to look at the reality of the world that we live in and what they're trying to usher in. And it's getting to the point now that, like you said, as soon as you start to bring these topics up, they immediately want to change the topic, because it's a lot easier to talk about what Colin Kaepernick is doing than it is to talk about the reality of where they're trying, where the elites are trying to take us.
All right.
It's a fact.
Well, I hear in the wind that an EMT might be necessary. I don't know if that would help, but, you know, sure, make people think of what their priorities are. Not subscribing to that. Republic of Texas Radio, we'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high. No matter what amount you take, what does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
Hello, hello. We're back, Republic of Texas Radio. We're finishing up the first hour. I've got Art from Georgia. He's on the line, and I got Alan sitting here. And Art, let me give you the next few minutes before we start moving on. I know Alan wants to get something in before the end of the hour. Let's do it. Art, how are you? There you go. What do you got left?
Okay, so I did a little look to help people out if they want to watch that video that Farron sent me a link to about the public library. It's on NBC Los Angeles. It's NBCLosAngeles.com, and it's entitled Sex, Drugs, and the Public Library. And you're right, Alan, I mean, Steve, when we try to talk about these things, whether it be Agenda 21 or whatever it happens to be, nobody wants to, you know, the average person doesn't want to talk about these things because it's so much easier to focus on the trivial crap like who won the last episode of Dancing with the Stars than it is to focus on the real issues of just how our society has gone to hell in a handbasket and where the elites and those who actually have the controlling power are trying to take this nation and the world. And until we change that mentality, we're gonna find that almost nothing is going to happen. Nothing's going to get any better. We have to somehow figure out how to get the people to shift their attention away from Dancing with the Stars and, you know, Cook Off with whatever his name is, the Fry Dude. We got to get people to change their attitudes and start looking at what's really going on, what's really happening, and try to reinstill in our young ethics and morals and logic and reason. Until we do that, nothing's going to happen. Thanks, guys. Have a great one, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Art.
Oh, man. Well, we got a few minutes left. What do you got there, Alan?
Oh, this is kind of a sad, but, you know, it was kind of comical, actually, when it happened. I was up at my brother's. They'd shot a deer up there, and I was up, you know, helping them, butcher it and get it all ready for, you know, the freezer and everything. And I was collecting, you know, some bones and some scrap meat and stuff for my dog. And so I got all that together and, you know, got on my four-wheeler and came back here, you know, to the house. And, you know, my pet deer, you know, Nebby, you know, short for Nibiru, you know, I got her in 2012. So, you know, that was when we were supposed to be hit by Nibiru. And, but anyway, I came over and her and her whole family were out here. And, you know, I bottle fed her. So, you know, I can walk right up to her and pet her and scratch her and whatever. And so I would come in and I got some grain, you know, some of my little candy mix and went out there and got a handful and put it out to her, and she comes walking up to me and goes, "Oh, wow, Daddy got some candy for me." And she walks up, and just as she gets up there and just starts to take her first bite, she goes, "Ooh, ooh." She looked back off from me and looked at me like, "Ooh, what? No, wow." And it's like, what's wrong? You know, I walked up to her, tried to scratch her. She's, "Ooh, no, no, ooh, no." And I got to thinking, it was like, oh, man, I didn't wash my hands, and I got a little bit of, you know, blood and stuff on the cuff of my coat. And it was like, and it's like her family was standing out there, and it's like they were almost like whispering amongst each other. It's like, "Cannibal, cannibal, cannibal, he's a cannibal, he's a cannibal, stay away from him, he's a cannibal." And, I mean, it was the weirdest, strangest reaction. I mean, you don't think that animals don't sense and know things? I mean, they were like, "Oh, Grandpa's a cannibal," you know? It's like, yeah, very strange reaction. I was like, man, I'm sorry.
All right. Wow. No bueno, Taco La Vista.
No bueno with them.
Hang on. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Hour 2, Republic of Texas Radio.
Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
listening to Republic Broadcasting.